Begin the Karantav Mzav, Tgesub Bestaf Ayin Aleph. Begin on the top line of the Yomid. The Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah from the previous staff, which opened up the Perek Hamadr, which spoke about if a husband takes a neder forbidding his wife from having any Hanof from him. So that, the Tanakhama said, that if it's up till 30 days, then they can maintain the marriage with this procedure of having a third party, Paranus providing for his wife. Now, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he said, Be Yisrael by non-Kohen, Chodesh Echad, Bechulu, 1 month. And then, if, however, he's a Kohen, we add another month, because a Kohen cannot remarry her, and if he later regrets what he had done, so we give him a little bit more time to maintain this procedure. Now, the Gemara wonders that the first half of Rabbi Yehuda's statement is Hainu Tanakama. Essentially, it's the same thing. The Tanakama also said it's for 30 days. So, what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to say when he repeats and he says, By Yisrael, it's Chodesh Echad? So Amabai, Abai says, you're right. Kohenes oslash minon. Really, the first half of his statement is unnecessary, because on that he agrees to the Tanakhama. He's saying it in the way of disparity. Yes, a Yisrael, then his wife can only maintain it for 1 month, but when it's a Kohen, we give him 2 months, because once he divorces her, he can't remarry her, which is not the case by Yisrael. However, Ravam, he actually says that, no, even in the first half of Rehuda's statement of Yisrael, there is a difference between him and the Tanakhama. Because Chodesh Mala v'Chodesh Chasra Ekebenai, the difference is regarding what's called a full month, that of 30 days, and a deficient month, that of 29 days. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, who defines it by a month, he says Chodesh Echad, if it's a Chodesh Chasra, a month that only has 29 days, then it's only 29 days. But the Tanakhama says 30 days, and therefore that will always be 30 days, even by a Chodesh Chasra, and that's going to be the difference, that 1 day between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda regarding a Yisrael, if we allow the neder up until 29 days in the Chodesh Chasar, or would it be even 30 days like the Tanakhama said? Now, the Gemara qualifies this halacha of our Mishnah, which is that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, whether it's 29 days or 30 days, they agree that we allow this procedure that, although, as we explained in the previous stuff, how he can make himself forbidden of not having to feed his wife biblically with the neder, but be that as it may, that he has an obligation to feed her through a parnas, that's only up till a month. Now, Amar Rav says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn this halacha of the Mishnah, Ela B'mefarash, only where he's specific and he says that I'm making this up until 30 days. That's when we say, okay, we're not going to force him to divorce her, but rather, okay, in the meantime, although the neder was chal, you'll have this parnas provide for her. Aval B'stam, but if it was unspecified, if it was indefinite, then Yitzi La'alta V'yitin K'suba. Then right away, you don't wait 30 days, right away, he has to go ahead and divorce her and give her the K'suba. Now, Shmuel Amar, he argues. He says, Afilu B'stam Lo Yitzi. He says, even if it was indefinite, that if, without specifying how long it is, he doesn't have to divorce her. Shemi Yimtza Pesach L'Nidra, because maybe he will find what's called a Pesach. A Pesach is an opening, which one can go to a dayan and say, look, and the dayan will say, if you would have known that this would be the circumstances, would you have made such a ned? And he says, no, I really wouldn't have. And he has charata. He could undo the vow. So even though it was indefinite, it will retroactively be revoked. So therefore, Shmuel holds that this halacha of up until 30 days is always up until 30 days. Because since she could manage for 30 days, even when it was indefinite, since he might find a way out of it up until the 30-day limit, we even in such a case allow that operation through the parnas to be done. Now the Gemara actually asks, for if glubai chadazem, we already had this machlokes Rav Shmuel in another context, why the redundancy in explaining the way how they qualify a different halacha in the same regards? Does not like learn the Mishnah earlier in the Samach Aleph on the base. The Mishnah said, Hamadris ishna mitash mishamit, if a husband takes a neder forbidding his wife from cohabitation with him. So, Beishame say that the max that she can maintain it if he's making this neder is 2 weeks. Beisol say no, max is 1 week. If he made the neder more than that, he's got to go ahead and divorce her and give her the ksuba. Now, Amar Rav, and Rav said he qualified that aloha. He said, Machlekes b'mefarish. Machlekes beisol b'mishame was if he specifies a week or 2 weeks, that's what they're arguing. Al-bastam, but if it was indefinite, then Yitzi La'al Tavit and Ksuba, then right away he has to divorce her and give her the Ksuba immediately. You don't wait till a week and then say, okay, fine, since it was forever the Neder, then we divorce. No, right away. Ushmulam, and he said, no. Even if indefinitely, just says, you're forbidden on me for Tashmash Amita, which is for infinity. you still don't divorce right away. And according to Beis Hillel, you wait a week, and Mishami wait 2 weeks. Again, Shema Yimtza Pesach al-Nedra, because he might find an opening for his neder, and since she can manage a week, and according to Bishami, she can manage 2 weeks, so then you wait until then. And if then he didn't have a Pesach al-Nedra, he didn't go ahead and nullify, he didn't go ahead and be mevatla, then he has to go ahead and divorce. So the question is, why did they have to repeat? Their machlekes is here in the context of our Gemara regarding Madur of Mezainis, when it seems to be the same machlekes Rav and Shmuel will have in the machlekes of Tashma Shemita. So the Gemara said, it was necessary to say this machlekes twice. Diitmar Bahi, because if we only had mentioned their machlekes earlier by Tashma Shemita, but he come around, maybe only over there did Rav say that if it was Stam, if it was unspecified, you divorce right away. Because Tashmish cannot be provided for the wife through a third party. That's why Rav says you have to divorce right away if you didn't give a set time. But regarding the case of our Mishnah where you could provide through a third party, maybe he would agree to Shmuel that since a woman could survive 30 days, moreover, she's getting her needs met from a parnas, maybe he would agree to Shmuel that you do wait even when there's done bistam. That's why I have to say the machlok is here again, that Rav says, no, you divorce right away and give a ksuba. And same thing in reverse, v'yetman b'ha, if we only had the machlok is over here, b'ha kamer Shmuel, maybe only over here by mezainis, the Shmuel will say that you wait even when there was bistam. Mishum de'ef shem b'parnas, because at least it's provided on some level, although it's embarrassing after that, but you could be the main needs can be provided through the third party. But regarding the case of Tashma Shemita, where that cannot be provided through a third party, maybe he would agree to Rav that when it's done bistam, unspecified, then you divorce right away. Tzricha, that's what we needed, both machlekes, and again to say that Rav applies even over here and that Shmuel applies even over there. Now, however, based on Shmuel's opinion, the Gemara asks from our Mishnah. It's not, we're learning on our Mishnah. Hamadras Ishtai, moving on to the second case of the Mishnah. If someone takes a neder against his wife, Shleititim Echad Mikol HaPeris, that she's not going to taste any specific fruits in the world, that it's forbidden for her to taste that fruit. So the loch is Yitzi V'itin Ksuba. So immediately, he has to divorce her and give her the Ksuba. Now, so the Gemara asks, Bishlam El Rav, this is very well understood according to Rav, that Khan, over here in the second case of the Mishnah, that the halacha is you have to divorce her right away, is because of Toma Bistam. It was unspecified, it was indefinite. So indefinite, Rav says, you have to divorce right away. Khan, but the case of the Risha of the Mishnah, that said that, let's say for Mezainis, Hamadras Ishta is up until 30 days, why not right away? Because that's Toma Bimfarish, when you specified. Specifying is she can manage up until 30 days. But El Shmuel Kash, according to Shmuel, that's a difficulty. According to him, there's no difference if you were Stam or Mefarish. So how do we understand why by Hamadis Ishtav the Resha, when it's talking about Ol Hana, then we say it's up until 30 days, which according to Shmuel is even by Stam. Why by the next case of being Madras Ishtav from one specific fruit, do you have to divorce right away and not wait up until 30 days? Setigmar says, Hachmai Eskinan, the case of the second case of the Mishnah is talking about, Kugun Shinadra He, as we explained in the Mishnah, that she took the nether, the kaim lo ihu, and all he did was that he was mekayim it. In other words, he didn't nullify it, and by not nullifying, he's validating it. He's saying that, you know what, good, this nether that you're taking, let it be like that, that you're not going to be able to eat from this fruit forever. Now, as Rash explains, there would be no purpose in this case, even according to Shmuel, to wait for the 30 days, because if the case is, as the Gemara is assuming, that she wants to take a ksuba, she wants to get out of this marriage, so she's not looking for a Pesach for the nether. Now, the whole thing of Shmuel's explanation was, for example, when he takes the nether, for example, like the case of the Reisha, where she cannot have pleasure from him, then Shmuel said that even when it's unstam, unspecified, indefinite, then you still wait the 30 days because maybe he's going to find the Pesach, he'll find the opening for the nether. But when she takes it, and she doesn't want to find the Pesach for the nether, so therefore, there's no point in waiting because she's not going to go to any rav to find a way out. She's happy. She's getting her ksuba. Now, although she took the neder, that's what the Gemara is going to explain, that v'ksav remeir, obviously then remeir, who the Gemara is assuming is the Tana of our Mishnah, obviously has to hold that who, the husband, and this is according to the way the Shmuel is explaining the case, because according to Shmuel, it has to be that she took the neder and that he's just being mekayimet. Because if he took the nether, then you wouldn't divorce right away, as our Mishnah says. You wait 30 days. So why are we doing it right away? Because the whole point why we don't do it right away is because so he'll find the Pesach. She doesn't want to find the Pesach. Now, but if she's making the neder, so why does the Mishnah say that she goes out with a ksuba? It's your fault. You took the neder and you're not finding a Pesach with a neder, so go out without a ksuba. No, because your Meir holds that the husband that was mekayin the neder, noisen etzba bein shineha. It's like he put her finger between her teeth and she's biting down on the teeth, on the finger. So although she's really doing everything, she's biting her own finger, but he put the finger between her teeth, which essentially is the same thing that although she's taking the neder, forbidding the fruit on herself, it's like he put the finger there because he could have been mevatel the neder, and he didn't. So it's like he's causing this to happen. So that's why the Tana of a Mishnah Remeir holds, and the reason why it's assuming that's Remeir, because Stam Mishnah is usually Remeir, that he has to give the ksuba because it's his fault. And since it's his fault, he has to give the ksuba. But again, there's no point waiting 30 days in according to Shmuel, because she's the one that took the nether, and she's not trying to find a way out of it. She wants to leave with the ksuba. However, the Gemara asks on this, based on this interpretation of how Shmuel has to explain the Mishnah, why you're divorcing right away, is because that the Tana of a Mishnah, again, who we're assuming is Remeir, holds that it's the husband's fault that the woman, what caused the woman's nether, because he didn't nullify it. But on that, the Gemara asks, V'savra Remeir, who noisen etzba bein shineha, is that really true? That Remeir holds that the husband who was mekayin the nether, it's like he put her finger between her teeth? But V'atam, learn the Braisa as follows. Isha shenadra b'nazar, a woman that took an oath of becoming a nazar. Now, v'shama b'ayla b'lo hoferla. The husband heard, and it wasn't made for, go ahead, don't drink wine, grow your hair, do whatever you want, become a nazar. Remeir Rabbi Huda Oimim, Remeir, which is one of the two, says, he nasna etzbe meshna. She put her finger between her teeth. Lefikach imrotza ba'al. So therefore, if the husband wants to, in the beginning, when he hears her take the neder of Naziris, lahafer, to nullify it, so yafer, he could, like any husband could do to any wife's vow. Now, v'im, however, if he doesn't want to, and he's mekayim, it says, good for you, do whatever you want. And then Omar, he says, E'ef shabish nadronis, I don't want a wife that takes these vows upon herself, forbidding things from her. Then teitze shaloi b'ksuba, she leaves without a ksuba, which that's what the Gemara is proving over here, where we see that Remeir holds, that she put the finger between her teeth. It's her fault, and she leaves without a ksuba, contradicting what the Gemara is assuming, in the way Shmuel explains the Mishnah, that he has to give the ksuba because who nas netzbe Mishnah? He put the finger. Now, however, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Yisri, Rabbi Lazo, Imrim, they argue, and they hold, who nas netzbe Mishnah, that he put her finger between her teeth. If the husband wants to be made for, he can be made for. But if he says afterwards that, oh, he wasn't made for it, and then he says, oh, I don't want a wife that has a nether, then they say that, okay, you divorce her, but you have to give her the ksuba because it's your fault. But one thing we see again is that Meir holds that he nasna, not who nasna. So on that thing where it says epach, so you have to switch it around. Remei Rabbi Yehuda Amrim hu noisen, that actually it was Remei Rabbi Yehuda that said that he put the finger. Again, the way Shmuel explained the Tana of a Mishnah, who we're assuming is Remeir, that it's the husband's liability. It's like he put her finger. And the Rabbi Yisrael Belozo Amrim, he noisen, that they say to the contrary, that she put it, and therefore he could divorce her without giving a ksuba. Now on this answer, the Gemara asks, V'savar Rabbi Yisi hi nasna. The way you're switching it around now is that comes out that Rabbi Yisi, who's from the second pair, holds that no, she put her finger. That is, she gets divorced without a ksuba. It's her fault. But that thing reminds us, what's number? In our Mishnah said Rabbi Yisi, Oim Rabbi Yisi says, Ba'anias, when if the husband makes the neder, where, as we explain, it's talking about a case where she took the neder, and he's just mekayim it. So Rabbi Yisi says, by when it's a poor woman that he makes the, that there's the nether taken of the woman not putting on any cosmetics, so shaloi nasin kitzva. If there was no set amount when he's forbidding even his poor wife that she's never going to have cosmetics ever in her life, then he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Now, one thing we see is that he has to give, that is, who nasin, he put her finger between her teeth. And again, as we explained, it's talking about a case of when she took the net and he was mekaimit. So you see there, Rabbi Yisi holds that who knows, and that's been mentioned now. And that's why he says that, let's say by the case of a pauper, where she took the nether forever, indefinite, he has to give the ksuba. But why does he have to give the ksuba? Obviously, because who knows, and that's been mentioned now. Now that contradicts the way you're resolving and saying that Rabbi Yisi holds, he nasna, that it's her fault. So therefore the Gemara has to, again, reevaluate that and say that Amos say that to explain that brisa, Remeir v'Rabbeisi Oimrim Hu Nisen, as we proved that Remeir and Rabbeisi both hold from two different sources that it's his fault, that therefore he put the finger and therefore he has to give the ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Laza Oimrim Hi Nisen. They say that no, that she did it to herself and therefore she goes out without a ksuba. Now the Gemara still asks. So we prove Remeir holds Hu Nisen. We prove Rabbeisi holds Hu Nisen. But on that Gemara asks, but Vesav Rabbi Yehuda Hi Nisen. So you said Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Laza hold that she did it. It's her fault. Is that really true? Bavaknan, again, going back to our Mishnah. We're not in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Be Yisrael, if the husband is Yisrael, so then Yoim Echad Yikayim. Which this was talking about the case if she says, I'm making a ned that I'm not going to taste this fruit forever. Or whatever the case is, however long it is. So Rabbi Yehuda said that it's if it's for one day, then if he's a Yisrael, then they can maintain it for one day. Now, again, as we explained, the cases are talking about when she took the nether and he's being mekayim it. And still Rabbi Yehuda says that for one day you can maintain it like that where she won't taste that fruit. But more than that, what's the halacha? Then yitzi v'yitin kesuba, then he has to divorce and give it a ksuba. What do you mean? She took the nether. He was just mekayim it. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda holds that who knows an etzba ben shina, he put her finger and it's his fault for being mekayim it and not being made for it. So how could you say Rabbi Yehuda and Melaz are the ones that say he nasna? So the aim of the Gemara reevaluates again the Bryce and says, okay, Remeir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehesi Aymim Hu Nisen. Actually, it's 3 and 1. The three of them say, as we prove from different sources, that he put her finger, it's his fault, he has to give her the ksuba. Rabbi Laza was the one that said that she put her finger. And therefore, again, we could still maintain the resolution of the Gemara for Shmuel that explains the case of a Mishnah that's talking about that she took the ned and he was mekayimid and still he has to give the ksuba because their mayor and two others, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehesi, hold Hu Nisen Etzba Ben Shina. Now, the Gemara says, and even v'imtim tzolei mezugi zugi kedon, and even if you want to explain the Braisa, which that was the original version that we had, there was actually a set of two peers, not 3 and 1 as we're making it now. Emo, you could say Remeir v'Rebelozo Imrim Hi Nasen. You could say that it was Remeir and Rebelozo who said that she put her finger between her teeth. Actually, it's her fault. And therefore, if he wants to divorce her, if he wasn't made for it, he could divorce her without a ksuba. And Rebihud v'Rebiyisi Imrim Hu Nasen, they say that he put the finger. And what comes out is V'Hastama, that we have to say that the anonymous Tana of our Mishnah is the like Remeir. It's not like Remeir. And therefore, it doesn't contradict Shmuel's explanation that he has to give the ksuba, although Remeir holds that he doesn't have to because she put her finger, that our town of Mishnah is either going, let's say, like Rabbi Yehuda, or like Rabbi Yehuda, he's not going like Remeir. And therefore, that still maintains the resolution of Shmuel that the halacha of Mishnah is she made the neder, and therefore there's no point of waiting even when it was done up until 30 days when it was done indefinitely, because the whole point is finding a Pesach of a neder, and when she took it, she's not interested in finding a Pesach, and then she'd rather leave with her ksuba. And if she's making it, why does he have to give the ksuba? It's because the Tanah of Mishnah, either it's like Remeir, like in the first version of the Gemara's Teretz, or it's not like Remeir, because Remeir holds that he nasna, and the Tanah of Mishnah is going like someone else. But the Gemara continues asking on Shmuel. Based on Shmuel's interpretation, which again, as he explained, besides the case of the Reisha, which said that you wait up until 30 days, even when it was done stam. The next cases of the Mishnah hold that you divorce right away. Obviously, Shmuel had to answer his Tuma that she took the nether, and he's being mekayimet. And because it's such a case, so now there's no point in waiting 30 days for finding a Pesach of a nether. That's why it's immediately. So on that, the Gemara asks, V'sav Rabbi Yehesi, what we said in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehesi holds, Ba'anias, if let's say the woman took an oath not to use cosmetics, so if she was poor, Shaloi nosen kitzva, if there was no set amount, it was indefinite, then he has to go out and divorce her and give her ksuba right away. Now, that the Gemara asks, Alma bal motzi mefer, what you could infer from this halacha of Rabbi Yehesi, is that obviously the husband can nullify the vow of his wife, who took a vow not to adorn herself with cosmetics. From the fact that we said that we're going to penalize him to have to give her the ksuba for being mekayim that neder and not being mefer, as we explained, Rabbi Yehesi holds that Hu Nisen Etzba Ben Shina. Now, what does Hu Nisen Etzba Ben Shina mean? Because he could have been made for it, he wasn't, he was mekayimet, so it's his fault. So obviously it means to say when she takes such a neder of cosmetics, he could be made for it. On that thing, Verminu. But we have the following brisa that says, Elu Dvarim Shabal Mefer. These are the things which if a wife takes a vow, he can nullify them. Devarim sheyesh bem inu nefesh, as the pasuk says, la'anos nefesh, things that are affliction of the soul, which are, for example, if she says, im erchatz, im lo erchatz, if I will bathe or I will not bathe, which the Gemara in Masechet Nedarim explains, what does that mean, if I will or not bathe? It means, the version of im erchatz means to say that, she says that the pleasure of bathing will be forbidden to me if I do bathe, which ultimately means to say that she's forbidden to bathe, because if she does, then she'll be forbidden. And the version of lo erchatz is that she takes the shvur, that I will not bathe. Either one ultimately is saying that I'm not going to bathe. And similarly, imeskashet, if I will adorn myself, means the same thing. If I will adorn myself, then the pleasure of adornment will be forbidden on me. And that is, if I will use some type of a besamim to adorn myself up until that certain amount of time. Or imloyeskashet, which basically means to say an oath that I will not adorn myself. Again, the same idea. I'm not going to bathe. I'm not going to adorn myself. Those are things of inu nefesh, affliction of the soul. And therefore, the husband's allowed to be made for those types of nadar. However, Amar Reb Yosi, and this is what the contradiction is from Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi says, "Ein elu nidra inu nefesh." These oaths, specifically of "I'm not going to adorn myself," "I'm not going to use cosmetics," those are not nadarim of affliction of the soul, and therefore the baal cannot be mefer, because as we said, the pasuk says la'anos nefesh. Only the oaths, the vows of affliction of the soul, he could be mefer. So the elu hein nidra inu nefesh. Reb Yosi says, "What are considered oaths of affliction of the soul?" That's shaloy ochel basa, which says, I'm not going to eat meat, v'shaloy ashtoyah, I'm not going to drink wine, or v'shaloy eskashav, I'm not going to adorn myself, as we continue on Talmud Beis, bebigdei tzevoinen, with colorful garments, which is disgraceful and embarrassing for her, and she's going to be embarrassed because of not eating this food and dressing the way people do. So that's considered la'anos nefesh, that the husband could nullify. But what we see is that shaloy eskashav, he can not nullify. If he cannot nullify, then how do we understand, according to Shmuel, that explained the halacha of our Mishnah is talking about, that she took the neder, and it's not he took the neder, he just was mekayimid, and therefore there's no point in waiting 30 days, because she's not going to try to find the pesach for the neder. So that's why you do it right away. So why does he have to give the ksuba? Oh, because it's his fault. Who nice and that's, but he put her finger between her teeth by not being mevatlet, by not being mefred. But Rabbi Yisi said, that case that he's talking about in the Mishnah, of lo yiskashit, that the husband cannot be made for, because that's not considered the dharma of inu nefesh. So obviously it's not like Shmuel, and the halacha of a Mishnah cannot be talked about of hi nadra b'hu mekayim. I think what it says, no. Doesn't contradict Shmuel. Hachamai eskinan, what is the halacha of a Mishnah of adornment talking about, where, as Shmuel explained, is talking about that she took the neder, and that obviously even Rabbi Yisrael would agree that he could be made for, and the fact that he doesn't, it's his fault. It's talking about b'dvarim shebeinoy lebeinoy. It's talking about things that are regarding intimacy between the two of them. Which, for example, if let's say it's talking about a certain type of cream that she could use to remove the pubic hairs, those type of kishrut, of cosmetics, that is something which is regarding intimacy. That is something that the husband does have a right to be made for nether. And because he didn't, so it is his fault, and that's why he has to give her the ksuba. Now, that's what Gemara asks. That's only good according to the opinion that says that regarding things of intimacy, the husband could nullify the vow. And because he didn't, so it's his fault, so give the ksuba. But according to the opinion that says that the husband cannot be made for even though it's regarding intimacy, Michael, what are you going to answer? The question then returns. Did my like we learned? Regarding things of intimacy, the husband could nullify. So the Mishnah works out for Shmuel, according to Rav Huna. But Rav Adbar Abba Omar, he says, Eina bal mefer, the husband cannot nullify it. And the reason being is, as he explains euphemistically, Shalei mitzinu shu'al shemes, we don't find a fox that died, but offer peer in the dust of his hole, meaning of the foxhole. Meaning in the hole that he grows up over there, which is used to, something that he's accustomed to, he's proficient, and he knows not to get harmed over there. So regarding the euphemism of intimacy, where although the pubic hair could be dangerous for the male member, because it could get wrapped around and harm him, but regarding his wife, where he's familiar with, that's something where it's not going to be harmful, And therefore, Vad Barhava holds that even though it's regarding intimacy, since it's not a neder of inu nefesh, he cannot be made for it. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, according to Rav Ad Barhava, where even though Dvar Moshe Beinoy Lebeinoy, he cannot be made for, and regarding Kishrut and Bialma, cosmetics, Rabbi Yisi says he cannot be made for, so how do we understand, according to Shmuel, Rabbi Yisi's halacha in our Mishnah, that the husband has to give the ksuba because he wasn't made for a neder, where it comes out, he can't even be made for it anyway. So rather, the Gemara says, Ella, Hachamai Iskinan, what would the case be talking about in our Mishnah, where it is the husband's fault, even though generally for cosmetics, Rabbi Yisi holds he cannot be made for it? It's talking about Kagan de Talinu Likishute Betashmish Hamita, where she hinged this neder of adorning herself in regards to cohabitation. Now, that's why the husband could nullify the vow. Why? Because you're right, regarding Kishut, regarding her adorning herself, cosmetics, that he has no rights to nullify. But maybe she's going to adorn herself. And when she does, then she becomes forbidden to have the pleasure of Tashmish with him. Oh, and that's something that he does have a right to nullify. And therefore, since that's hinged on that, so therefore he could nullify even that of Kishut. And since he didn't, so it's his fault, and therefore he has to be Maitzvi Niksuba. Dhammer, like, it's talking about a case where she says, Yaser hanos tashmishcho alai, that the pleasure of your tashmish with me should be forbidden on me, imeskashet, if I adorn myself. Now, as the Gemara explains, k'damar Rav Kahana, this has to be specifically the way Rav Kahana explains, where a woman, although she actually cannot make her forbidden to her husband with tashmish, because actually she's meshubit to him for tashmish, but there's a way that she can make it problematic, which is the way we have to explain the case, and that's why it's a neder, although it's with kishutin, that the husband could be mefer, because ultimately it will impact the tashmish. The Amar Rav Kahana, like Rav Kahana said, hanos tashmishi alecha, if the woman says that the pleasure of my tashmish that I have with you should be forbidden to you, then kaifa umisham shasa, he forces her, and they have cohabitation, because she cannot make herself forbidden to him, because she's meshubitim. However, if she says, hanoz tashmishcha olai, the pleasure of your tashmish is forbidden to me, that she can make forbidden to herself, meaning that she's the one that the neder is on, not him. So, for example, when you're saying that the pleasure of your tashmish is forbidden to me, then yofer. Then he has to nullify that vow, because although she cannot make something forbidden to him, but he can't feed her something that's forbidden to her, which in this case, the feeding is the pleasure of his tashmish with her, she could say that that's forbidden to me. I'm not making anything forbidden to you, it's forbidden to me. Now, but that would make him a problem for him having tashmish with her, because he can't feed something forbidden to another person. As the Gemara says, because you can't feed something to someone that's forbidden to him. So that's the case where, although for Kishutin, Rabbi Yisi said he cannot be made for, so it shouldn't be his fault, it is his fault, because although it's regarding Kishutin, it hinges to regarding Tashmish, which that is something that he could be made for, and therefore he could be made for even now regarding Kishutin, and if he didn't, so therefore it's Yaitziv Eitin Kisuba, so it's his fault, because as we explained, Rabbi Yisi holds, who knows in Esbib Mainshah now? However, the Gemara still asks on this and says that according to Rabbi Yisi, since he says that these are not considered nidri inu nefesh, not considered affliction of the soul. So the question is, how could he be mefer? Now, the reason why you explained the Gemara was because she hinged it onto tashmish. Oh, tashmish is something that he definitely could be mefer. But that the Gemara asks, v'loy tiskashet, v'loy tiasa, I don't understand the question. Let her not adorn herself, and then she won't become forbidden. What are you saying? You're saying that, oh, if she would, then she'd become forbidden, so therefore even now, but what do you mean? Don't let her adorn, and then she won't become forbidden. And then the Gemara says, that's not practical, because in Cain, if that's the case, Karla Menavelis, people are going to call her disgusting, because she's not putting on regular, normal cosmetics that women do, and when she gets embarrassed, she's going to adorn herself. Then it comes out that this neder will make her forbidden to her husband for Tashmish Amita. Now, that's why he could be mefer, because it's regarding things that are beinu lebeinu, it's regarding intimacy, and that's why he could be mefer. And that's why if he's not mefer, it's his fault. And that's why it has to be yaitzi b'itin k'subasa. But the Gemara still asks, but okay, fine. So it will ultimately be something regarding that he could have been mefer, although not regarding kishutin, but it's kishutin that hinges on tashmish amita, so it's his fault, because who knows that's been mentioned now. She has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. But the Gemara asks, the question is, but still, why does she have to divorce her right away and give her the ksuba? And that is because vitiskashet viti aser. Let's say when she adorns herself and then she becomes forbidden to vitashma shamita, then it will be like a man who makes his wife forbidden to him for Tashma Shamita. Now we learned in Perek Afalpi that Ila Beishamai, if you go with Beishamai, that Shtei Shabbos is a husband who's forbidden to his wife, making it forbidden for Tashma Shamita, there is a certain amount of period that you could maintain the marriage in that situation, that of 2 weeks. Ila Beisel, according to Beisel, it's Shabbos Achas, it's 1 week. So even if we're saying that this nether of cosmetics is like a nether of Tashma Shamita, because she hinged it on that. And it's his fault, because he wasn't made for it. And he could have, because it's going to affect Tashmish, which he could be made for. So, okay, fine. It's like he took the nether. But even when he makes a nether of Tashmish Amita, he still doesn't have to divorce right away. Yes, he has to give the ksuba, but according to Basil, he could wait 1 week. According to Beisham, 2 weeks. So why hears it immediately? So the Gemara answers, Hanimili, when did we say that we give him time? And as we explained, because maybe he's going to find an opening for his nether, that's hecha de adra ihu. That's when he took the vow. Because the suvr, the wife, thinks, mirtach ratach ilava, he was just very upset. And he said, you know what, forget it, we're not going to have bia together. Now, vahashta meisav daita, but now he's going to calm down, and he's going to realize, what I do? And he's going to find the pesach for the nether. So we give him a week according to Beisil, or 2 weeks according to Beishamai. But in the case of our Mishnah, the Nadri Ihi Vishasikla, where she took the vow and he was quiet and he wasn't mefer, now she can't live with him for even a moment. Even not to wait for her to then adorn herself and then become forbidden to him to Tashma Shamita. Because Sava, she thinks, Mide Ishtik, from the fact that he was quiet, must be Misnahu Disanili. He obviously hates me because he doesn't really care about me. If he did it in a fit of rage and he says, you know what, forget it, I'm not having B. She thinks he got upset. Got upset, he'll calm down. But here, it wasn't him upset. I made the nether. And he didn't say anything. He obviously doesn't care about me. If he doesn't care about me, she cannot tolerate even for a moment to stay in that type of a marriage. And therefore, he has to divorce her right away. And the ksuba is his liability. Because as we said, because it's who nice nets we mentioned now, by not being mefer, it's his fault. I think Mark continued to explain our Mishnah that Rabbi Yisi said that regarding when she makes a vow of cosmetics, so Banias, if it's a poor woman, it's only if Shalei Nosa Kitzva, if there was no set time, it was infinite, it was indefinite, then he has to divorce and give her Ksuba. But if there was a set time, since she's poor anyway, she's not so used to using cosmetics anyway, so then she waits it out and they maintain the marriage. So the Gemara says, Bekama Kitzva. How much is a set amount? In other words, if he gave a set amount, how long would that be permitted that we don't force him to have to divorce her? If you give 1,000 years, which is a set amount, obviously that's ridiculous. That would be the same thing as indefinite. So the Gemara brings a few different approaches. I'm Rabbi Huda Mishmuel. He says, Yud Beis Chedesh, 12 months. 12 months for a poor woman, she can tolerate it. More than that, he would have to divorce her and give her ksuba. Rabbi B'chana, Amr B'yech. And he says, Eser Shana, he says, 10 years. Rav Chizda Amar Avimi, he says regal. He says up until the next Yom Tov. She came b'nais Yisrael, miskashas b'regal, because even the poor women, the Jewish women, they get adorned and they use cosmetics for a Yom Tov, and therefore, if it's up till Yom Tov, fine, but if more than that, then he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. Now, and then he said, Bashiris, but the wealthy woman, Islamad Yom, is only up until 30 days. So they must maishna lam yom, what's so specific about 30 days for a wealthy woman? So Abai says, because she can isha chashuva nenes, because a wealthy, dignified woman derives pleasure, meirech kishruteha, from the aroma of her cosmetics that she had adorned herself before the nether, lama yom, it lasts for 30 days. Now, once that maxes out, now she has that need that's not being filled, and therefore it has to be yitzi, be eaten ksubasa. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again, continuing the theme of this parak of Hamadr is Ishtai. If a man makes a nether regarding his wife, that there's a nether, an oath forbidding her to go to her father's house. So it depends. Bizman shuhu imo be'ir, when her parents live with her in the same city, so then chodesh echad yikayim. Then if the nether forbidding her to go to her parents was for 1 month, then they maintain the marriage. Shnayim yitziv yitin ksuba, but if it's for 2 months, then he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. But if the parents live in another city where it was normal for on Yom Tov for the daughter to go to her parents, so then regel echad yikayim. Then 1 month she could hold herself in and not go to her parents, and then they could still maintain the marriage. Shloisha yitzibit in ksuba. But if it's for three, then he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba, because that long she cannot hold herself back. And the Gemara is going to ask, what's with two Yom Tovim? Why? How did we jump from one to three? One, you can maintain it. Three, you cannot. What's with two? So the Gemara will address that. Hamadres ishtei, if someone takes a vow forbidding his wife, shleitelech lebeisa avo, she can't go to a mourner's house for a shiva, or lebeisa mishta, or to a chasna, to a celebration, to a feast. Yetzi b'yitin ksuba, he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Mepnei shenel b'fanah, because he's closing the door in front of her, which we'll explain what exactly does that mean. Now, however, in Ayutayin, Mishum Davar Achar Rishoy, but if he was explained that it's because of a different thing, then he's permitted, which we will explain what is this other thing that he's legitimate in his forbidding her of going to Beis Ovel and Beis Mishnah. Amala, if he told his wife, Amanas should Toimri Leplani, on the condition, you'll be okay and I won't make these problems for you, that if you tell that person, which doesn't explain what exactly we were talking about, Masha Martali, that which you told me, only if you tell this person what you told me, Oy Masha Marti Lacho, what I told you, Oy Shatei Mamala Umar Lashb, or he tells her, I won't make these problems for you only if you fill up and you empty out into the garbage, which you might explain what is that case also. So then Yitzav Yitin Ksuba, if he makes these annoying type of conditions with his wife, only if you tell this person that, if you do this and that, then if he does these things, then he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Now, the Gemara asked the question that we alluded to in the Mishnah, Hagufa Kasha. Amrin Regel Echad Yikayim, he said, for one Yom Tov, then she can manage not going to her parents. Hashnayim, but the inference is, but two Yom Tov, Yetzivit and Ksuba, then he has to divorce and give her the ksuba. But aim a sefer, look at the sefer. Shloisha Yetzivit and Ksuba. If he made that she's forbidden to go to her parents' house for three Yom Tov, then he has to give the ksuba. Hashnayim Yikayim, but the inference is that for two Yom Tovim, then they can maintain it that way. So Abaye, Abaye says that Seifa, that said that for three, then he has to divorce her, but for two she can manage, Asan L'Kahanas, is talking about a wife of a Kohen, that we wait for two Yom Tovim, and Rabbi Yehuda, it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who we taught in the previous Mishnah, that he holds that always we add on one more, of the metrics, of the numerics, when it comes to a kohen, because a kohen, once he divorces her, he can't remarry her, even if she didn't marry anyone else in the interim, which is the problem of everyone, a mafsi grushasai, a kohen cannot marry any grusha, even his own wife, so therefore, that the reish is talking about a non-kohen, where it's only one yamtiv, but a kohen would give two, and only three, he has to divorce. Another approach, Rabbi Ulama, he says, loy kasha, it's not a contradiction, because kan birdufa. The case of the Reish was told about that a woman loves going to her parents' house. So one Yom Tov she could hold herself in, but two, he has to divorce and give her the ksuba. But Kam Bishain Redufa, the safest told about when she doesn't run to go to her parents' house. So for two Yom Tov she could hold out, three, even for such a girl, it's too challenging, and then you would have to go ahead and divorce and give her the ksuba. Now related to this about someone running to her parents' house, who she loves going to her parents' house, so metaphorically related to the relationship of Klal Yisrael and Hashem, and the Gemara brings the pasuk in Shir Hashirim that Oz Hayisi Ve'enav, then I was in his eyes, Kemaitzei Shalom, like finding Shalom, peace, wholesomeness, fulfillment. Amar Rabbi Yechanan compares this relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem, Kekala Shenimtze Shleima Beveis Chameha, like a daughter-in-law that finds herself complete in her father-in-law's house. And this that she's accepted and they love her, so she runs, again, this is why we bring in Obia, she runs to go and tell her father and her whole family the great praise, how well she's liked by her in-laws. And again, that's the same concept that we're saying, that there are certain women that run to our parents' house, which was that approach of Rabbi Bar Ula, and we find the same thing as what we're explaining in the pasuk of the relationship with Hashem, that's so excited how well they're accepted. Similarly, a pasuk in Hosea says, Hashem says, it will be on that day in the future that tikri ishi, that you will call me my husband, which is a term of ishus, of nisuin, of marriage. But like tikri li oid bali, you're not going to call me anymore my master, which is a different term could given to a husband. Now, Amar Rabbi Yechon explains, what does that mean? What's going to be la'asad lavei? Kekala beveis chameha means like a daughter-in-law in her father-in-law's house, which she's already married, which is the term of ishi, and she's very comfortable with her husband, and she's not embarrassed from him anymore. V'loi kekala beveis avia, not like a kala in her father's house, where she's still just engaged, and she's a kala, but she's not in her father-in-law's house yet. That was the original relationship of the Jewish people. Hashem says, it will be in that day that you'll call me Ishi and not Bali, because we're going to be so comfortable, you're not going to be embarrassed from me. That's going to be the relationship between the Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.